So you're in Toronto at the moment working on a film called Scott Pilgrim versus the World, yeah?
That is correct. We start filming on March the 30th.
Can you tell us a bit about the film, what it's about, who's in it, that kind of thing?
It's based on a series of comic books that have been going since like 2004, and they're set in Toronto. It's a Toronto writer called Brian Lee O'Malley. I got involved with it like 4 years ago, just after the first book came out. And so just before doing Hot Fuzz, I wrote a first draft of the script, and now we're finally sort of making it. And in that time, like, there's, you know, been five books published, so it's been sort of really great to kind of be, you know, sort of working on the film as the series is kind of progressing. It's been really cool.
Yeah. So you're writer and director then?
Yeah, well, I wrote and directed Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz as well. Co-wrote. I have to give Simon Pegg some credit. I don't always.
Oh, he's not here. Just we don't know.
He's not here. Okay, I'm going to claim that I solely wrote Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Do it. Is it?
He's not listening, is he?
Well, we've actually got him in the shoot. No, we haven't really. So what kind of a brief synopsis of the film? What's it about?
Basically, it's about a young 20-something slacker sort of guy who's in a not very good band in Toronto, who becomes kind of entranced by this American dream girl who comes to town. And as soon as she reluctantly agrees to date him, all of her exes that she's ever had come out of the woodwork to fight him to the death for the right to date her.
Okay. Is it kind of like a twist on the superhero genre? Because you've got Brandon Routh starring as one of the ex-boyfriends, is that right?
Well, the lead character isn't a superhero.
Okay.
He's just like a normal guy. It sort of takes place in a universe where people can have Tekken-style fights.
Okay.
Like video game-style fights and to solve problems. So it's essentially like a sort of a relationship comedy that just happens to have enormous fights in it.
And the lead guy, Scott Pilgrim, he's played by Michael Cera, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Is it kind of going to be an offbeat, quirky film that we're used to seeing him in?
Well, I mean, it's got elements of his usual charm. I mean, I've been a fan of Michael Cera since Arrested Development.
Yeah,
I remember
me too.
When I was writing the first draft of the script, I was really into the first and second season on DVD, and just loved it and thought his timing was just amazing.
That's what, yeah.
And I think this film will show a couple of different sides of him, just in terms of it should be a lot of fun. I think it's slightly taken him out of his comfort zone in a funny way.
So you're in pre-production now. So what does pre-production entail? What are you doing day to day?
Kind of been doing preparation for sort of the best part of last year as well, because you storyboard the film, you look at locations, you know, you meet crew that are either coming from all around the world in this case, and some are Toronto based. You're casting, so beyond kind of the people that we've already cast in the film, you know, there's you know, sort of several smaller parts as well that all need to be cast, so there's a lot to do.
Are you thinking about music at this stage? Does that come into it yet?
Yeah, it does actually, because in the film, like, the Scott Pilgrim is in like a not very good garage band, and then he has to face off against other bands that are much better than they are. And so we have got kind of a bunch of different people who I probably can't announce right now,
yeah.
But there's some very exciting kind of people from.
So are they writing songs for the film, or are you, like, will this character be like covering songs, or can you whatever you?
No, they've either sort of like written songs especially for the film, or in one case like donated a song that they had done for an album which they hadn't kind of used yet. You know. But all the original stuff, and a lot of it already done, because, you know, the actors kind of have to learn the song, so it's really exciting.
Are we going to hear Michael Cera sing again?
He's the bassist, actually, so he doesn't really sing, but he does play, Michael Cera does play, like, guitar really well, so...
Yeah, and Juno,
he's probably the only person who doesn't have to have coaching.
Okay. And so these artists that have donated songs, we're going to have heard of them then?
Yes, you are, and you'll be annoyed that I can't reveal it.
It adds some mystery. I think it's exciting, but we'll tell you off afterwards when we're not on air anymore.
Okay.
What's the release date? What's the slated theatrical release date for this film?
I like that you sound very serious there when you say belated release day.
I am very serious, you know me.
See, I'm gonna take your very precise thing and make it more vague. I'm gonna say that the slated release date is sometime in 2010.
So how long are you filming for then?
We film until the summer, and then I'm back in London editing the film. So I'm gonna be back in London for like as long as we're here shooting. You know,
is that when you can come and play it straight to video again?
I hope that this film will in its time produce some soundtrack songs that will get played at straight to video.
Well, I'm sure it will. I mean, we played. Certainly played stuff that's been in Sean and Hot Fuzz. Don't Stop Me Now.
I'd like to say somewhere between me and the Dairy Milk advert, I'd like to take credit for Don't Stop Me Now being number one on iTunes above Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen's biggest selling song on iTunes.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
When we used it in Shaun of the Dead, I put it in there because A, it was one of my favourite Queen songs, but it wasn't one of the best known at that time.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't even in the top 10 sort of favourite Queen songs, but I'd also been to see the musical We Will Rock You, which I thought was terrible.
I'm surprised you've admitted to that.
Not only was it terrible, but they missed a trick by they didn't even have that song in it. They don't even sing Don't Stop Me Now, which is the one that sounds like a Broadway musical song.
Would you ever do a soundtrack with, like, you know, one band, one artist, and sort of see it from the start to the end?
Yeah, it would be really interesting to get, like, one artist to do the whole thing. I like those films where people kind of feel like they're having fun with it and stuff. I always liked kind of like all the Goblin soundtracks, the Italian ones, because it sounded like one band just jamming all the way through the film. Usually a lot of soundtracks are kind of like the studios figuring out how many of their label acts they can get onto one soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a marketing thing, isn't it, rather than an artistic thing.
Sometimes those Italian films, they did the music before they shot the film, with like Ennio Morricone a couple of times on the Clint Eastwood films, like Good, the Bad and the Ugly. The music was done ahead of the film, so they played that music in on set, which is just amazing.
What stage of production do you tend to start thinking about the music? I mean, obviously Scott Pilgrim's got music in it, but with, say, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, where music isn't a part of the story, when do you start thinking about it? Is it while you're writing it?
Yeah, in the case of Shaun of the Dead, we played music whilst we were writing. The things that mostly soundtrack the writing of Shaun of the Dead was the Goblin, Dawn of the Dead and Suspiria scores. And also the Gorillaz album, and the first Gorillaz album, I remember we listening to that a lot. But what was, and then also there was this guy, the guy who actually eventually did the score, Dan Mudford and Pete Woodhead, who were in a band called the Sons of Silence, and I had one of their tracks which sounded just right, and he gave me another bunch of tracks that they hadn't released, and some of those formed the score, you know, and so we actually listened to, whilst we were writing, some tracks that actually eventually became the soundtrack of the film.
Moving on to the part of the interview where I try and eke secret information, exclusive stuff out of you about upcoming projects, which I know you're probably infuriatingly secretive about.
I'm going to massively disappoint you.
I can still ask, though.
You can still ask.
Well, the three films that are kind of out there as announced are Them, The World's End, and Ant-Man. Is that right?
Are you looking at IMDb right now?
Yeah, not right now. I've written it down as part of my research. I come prepared, Edgar.
I'd like to say IMDb is not always the most kind of accurate sometimes. Actors sometimes do a thing where they announce themselves on IMDb as a way of getting seen for auditions. So for one particular client, Scott Pilgrim,
so Michael Cera hasn't actually been cast.
No, there's other actors that have actually put themselves on. People put themselves on like the casting list of things and put rumoured in brackets.
I know what I'm doing then, tonight.
and then it gets reported on as fact on the internet that like this person's in the film when in truth I've never actually seen them.
I'm going to put myself in The World's End then, I think. Is that all right?
There you go. Rumoured Rachel Wright. And then people say, oh, that's nepotism. I said, I can't believe he cast his sister in the film. The World's End is a film, it's a working title, but it's a film that me and Simon are going to write when I get back to London, which is intended to be like the third in our trilogy.
The Ice Cream Trilogy.
Hot Fuzz.
So that's actually going to be my next question, was like, do you, when you're working on one film, are you also kind of doing bits on projects further down the line, or do you solely commit to one project at a time?
Well, once you get into pre-production, you totally commit. So this year I've just been single focused, but, you know, in between Hot Fuzz and this, that's exactly what I've been doing with, you know, actually there's even more things than on that list you sent me. Like, certainly, then was something that I was doing before Hot Fuzz and, mm-hmm. and might still happen, but that was something that I was only writing.
Okay.
Which is an adaptation of John Ronson's book, which I did with Mike White, who wrote kind of Chuck and Buck and School of Rock.
Okay.
And then Ant-Man is an adaptation of a Marvel comic that I wrote with Joe Cornish, which we're still working on, which is a lot of fun to do, and that's something that I'll return to once I've done this film. There's truth in all of them.
So The World's End, how have you said you're coming back to write that when you get back to London then? So you haven't had to kind of had a long distance relationship. Now America's stolen Simon and put him in blockbusters and stuff.
Well, Simon's mostly in London most of the time. he's not living
so
in...
So they haven't stolen him.
Yeah, Simon would be the one to accuse me of having gone, because I'm the one that like lived in LA for like sort of on and off for a year and a half. But Simon's has certainly been kind of in North London sort of for the entire time. But he's but no, it is difficult to write things long distance. It doesn't really work that, you know, especially writing something like a comedy. It's very difficult to kind of write things separately. You kind of need to be in the same room. So.
Yeah.
I think we're both looking forward to actually getting together properly and doing it. Writing is you know, a very time-consuming process, and you know, once you kind of get busy with lots of things, and, you know, it is difficult to kind of, you really have to focus more than ever, and you know, to really sort of hammer it out.
Have you got the situation in place for the story, as in like Shaun of the Dead was the zombies and Hot Fuzz was the murderous village? What about this one? Have you kind of got any ideas? You're not going to tell me, are you?
Rachel, no matter how nicely you say it.
I can't even flutter my eyes.
No matter how nicely you word it, I'm not going to tell you. Don't pretend that this isn't going out on the radio.
Okay, so you're not going to tell us anything?
No, the only thing, that we wanted it to do is we wanted to, we pulled it the Three Flavours Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned Cornetto ice cream. You know, we've mentioned them twice now, and you'd think that they'd send you a free box of Cornetto, but no.
And they haven't.
No, yeah, so we thought we'd do one more film just to see a Cornetto, like if Walls would actually step up and give us a free box of Cornetto.
Haven't they even sponsored you a little bit, like product placement in films?
Oh, yeah, they let you have...
they let you have free Cornetto per film. And
well,
if
I think on Shaun of the Dead, at the premiere of Shaun of the Dead, Cornetto, they had like a Cornetto stand at the premiere, so on the way out you could have a Cornetto, which it was kind of like the ultimate triumph was to have like a London premiere and then on the way out have a strawberry Cornetto as you went out to the street at 2 o'clock in the morning. We wrote Cornettos into Hot Fuzz, but no Cornetto second time round. I was very disappointed.
So would you direct a Cornetto ad then for TV?
I feel like I have too. I've done two feature length Cornetto adverts. Maybe we'll defect. Me and Nick Frost are fond of singing the old jingle for Gino Ginelli, which we've seen quite a lot on set.
So you went to the Oscars last year. Oscars are coming up again. Are you going this year?
No, I'm going to be in Toronto. I was very kind of like excited to go, and like sort of took me along, and it was incredibly exciting. I was very sort of honoured to go. But there was a weird thing, is that what you see on TV is kind of the most... I mean, it's obviously amazing seeing all of those stars there. But what you see on TV is almost like... is like the most glamorous version of it. Because what's... Even at the Oscars, there's still, like, camera crews, and they're still, like, just out of shot will be kind of electricians, like, talking. Yeah, like, Penelope Cruz is on stage, or John Travolta, or Brad Pitt. But then just... literally 2 feet away is some kind of electrician kind of whittering to each other. I just kept finding like the whole illusion was broken for me, because I was getting distracted by these kind of electricians.
What do you make of this year's nominations?
I think they're pretty good. I think there's some people I'm very pleased that got nominated. I really hope Mickey Rourke wins, if only to see his speech.
Oh,
like
God.
I thought he was amazing in that film, and I think most of the nominations are sort of, there's been a bit of controversy about nominees and some films that were passed over, like, which is a bit weird. And I think it's a shame that Sally Hawkins didn't get nominated for Happy Go Lucky.
Yeah.
She was brilliant in that. And
are you on the Slumdog Millionaire bandwagon? Are you a fan?
Well, my editor, Chris Dickens, who edited Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and Spaced, edited Slumdog Millionaire, so I'm absolutely on that bandwagon. And he got nominated for the Oscars, so I'm so excited for him.
It is such a good film. I loved it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So is that who you're rooting for on the night?
Oh, for the big prize? Yeah, absolutely. I guess so, yeah. That would be, I mean, there's a lot of good films in that category. But you know, obviously because I'm biased because my friend edited Slumdog Millionaire, so I'm rooting for them.
Yeah. Any other predictions?
There'll be two electricians that talk all the way through it, just out of shot.
But we can't verify that.
I can see a film now about these two electricians that work at the Oscars,
yeah,
and some of the madcap comedy capers
like
that entail.
A mockumentary about what really happened.
Yeah.
Can I play a seat filler? If you do this film and you cast it, can I play a seat filler, please?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. We've got it recorded now. It's going to happen.
I just have one more question, I guess, before we go. You've DJed now with us a couple of times down at Straight to Video, and you've done an absolutely amazing job getting people up dancing with some really great, obscure and not so obscure soundtrack stuff. Do you know any other directors that are sort of frustrated DJs?
Well, I know that Jason Reitman, who directed Juno, he DJs in LA occasionally. So whenever he's next in London, you should get him to do it.
I just wonder, because it's like an instant form of gratification, isn't it, DJ? When you're DJing to a crowd and you get that instant feedback, I imagine it might be a little bit frustrating as a filmmaker. You kind of do your thing and then you have to wait sometimes a couple of years or whatever till you can actually gauge what the audience think of it.
It's definitely weird in that sense, in terms of, you know, directing is like, it's a job where you actually, the thing that you do, you get to do so infrequently, so that is kind of weird. But you know, I enjoy the writing process as well, and you know, and we've been very kind of lucky to have travelled the world with, you know, the films and even our TV series, and do kind of like press all over the world, and that's literally a trip.
Aren't press junkets really, really dull though, answering the same questions over and over again and trying to be sparky for everyone?
Well, that starts to be slightly like Chinese water torture, in the sense that it's just weird when people ask the same question with the same wording every. And so we had a thing on the Hot Fuzz press tour, and there's a documentary on the DVD actually that Joe Cornish directed, which is very funny, and it shows us going kind of slowly mad, even though it was really good fun, and it's always, you know, great to kind of travel with your film.
Yeah.
But every single interview, without fail, somebody would ask with exactly the same wording, "You've done zombies, you've done cops, what's next?" And they say exactly like that every time.
I asked you that question earlier, Edgar.
you didn't word it like that. You didn't say it with exactly that wording. But you get a free pass.
And I didn't have an American accent.
You get a free cornetto.
It's very strange. And it's like, after a while, you start to become slightly, you know, just murderous. It's weird.
But this is kind of like your first-ish interview for Scott Pilgrim, so you don't want to punch us yet, do you?
No, you haven't asked anything at all, so irritating.
Cool, thank you so much, Edgar.
No worries.
You are a star.
All right, cool. I'll see you guys in the summer.